I'd like to be turning over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22, and starting there in just a moment. In the first lesson, we talked about being unbroken. And while it may not seem something that a lot of us can obtain, some of the things that many of us enjoyed in our lives, especially as Christians, as those that are trying to please God, it is something that we want to try to gravitate towards, something that we want to try to follow. There's people throughout life that we see that do amazing things. They can be athletes. They can be people that have just accomplished a lot in business. People maybe that have had difficulty in life, maybe in health, and they've just turned their lives around and they become role models for us. Not people that we want to look at as idols, but role models for us. Somebody that plays baseball, they might look to the best baseball player there is and say, I want to practice like that. I want to hit like that. And they watch everything that they do to try to learn more of how to exhibit attributes of their lives or their abilities in their own. Teachers maybe look to other teachers that have very good success and want to try to copy after them. Spiritually, hopefully we all look at each other and we say, man, that person really seems to do a good job studying. I want to study like that. So we try to become more familiar with the Bible, with God's Word. It can be anything in our lives. There's role models all around us and we try to look to them. In my first lesson when we talked about being unbroken, as I said, it may not be something that we can't be like some of those people. Some of them just had the ability to do what God wanted them to do so well. But why do we have them recorded in all the Scriptures? Because they should be our role models. Not our primary role model. It should always be Christ. But when we look around, we see people that have attributes like us. We want to look at them as role models. I didn't have this as part of a lesson. I'm trying to keep Glendon happy with my time frames on there, even if he does have a new suit on. And of all people that I think of is a good role model, when we talk as this transition in these two lessons, going from unbroken to reinforcing or dealing with the broken parts of people, here's what Paul says. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they all Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. He's saying, okay, if you're looking for a Jew, I'm right there. In fact, I'm probably higher up than anybody else. So what has he had to deal with? Verse 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Again, what's a stripe? That's dealing with the difficulties and the punishment of others. In prison more frequently, in deaths more often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often. In perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils of the city, in perils of wilderness, in perils of the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness, and toil, and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, and fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. And he finishes up in verse 29. Who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is made to stumble? And I not to burn with indignation? If I must boast, and he says must boast because these people have pushed him to this point, I will boast in the things which concern my infirmity. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor of under Aretas, the king, was guarding the city of the Damascenes with a garrison desiring to arrest me. But I was let down in a basket through the window in the wall and escaped from his hands. He goes on to talk about this in this passage and in other places, just the difficulties that Paul has. And we can see through the whole life of Paul, he's this very same person, like we looked in the Old Testament, of some of these pillars of faith, people that were unbroken. Let's turn that on. See. Okay, you can see it. People that did not fail to do what God wanted them to do. But again, as we talked about, one thing about being unbroken is people want to break you down. For sports fans that are in here, I had 2 unfortunate situations, and there's some that are like that probably with me. I've been very excited because my Cincinnati Bengals were undefeated until last week, and now they're defeated. people wanted to beat that team, and they want to beat all teams that have a perfect record because they want to be that one. And that goes back to what I talked about Satan before. If he sees somebody that's doing great, man, he just wants to break them up and break them in pieces because that's what he wants. He doesn't want anybody to have glory in God. I also am an Ohio State fan and saw them lose yesterday. So while I'm dragging myself up here in my sadness, these examples are perfect. I mean, they really are. Those are the people that everybody else was looking to, and it shows there was failings there. Why did the Bengals not win last week? Why did Ohio State not win yesterday? Well, there was somebody that was better prepared. And in both of those cases, had those teams been optimally prepared, even though they may not have thought they could be, there could have been better performance on both sides. I think everybody that watches those games could say so. Being absolutely best prepared for anything that comes at us would make us be able to be unbroken. So as we transition over to reinforcing, the first lesson we talked about what it means to be unbreakable, as I pointed out in retail and in life and in God's eyes. In this lesson, we'll look at even more fragile things and how people can be reinforced or protect to get things done. I'm really happy with the songs that Andrew picked out today. In fact, the invitation song that we'll be singing after my lesson talks about these things too. Just as we are, the people that we are is all we can be, but we can be the best people that we can be if we focus on God. And sometimes that requires reinforcement. Have you ever seen a sign like this? Abe had some pretty good signs up. In fact, he had a sign up on his lesson a few weeks ago that I'd never seen. It talked about, people that basically get on the property, they'll be shot, and if they survive, they'll be shot again. I thought that was fantastic, so I tried to go with a little bit more docile versions of that. But lock your vehicle. Why do people lock their vehicle? And can you imagine how big that person is, too, if that car is a pretty good size? Why do you care about cars and contents being left? Why do people put signs like this up? Because whoever's property you're parked on wants to say, I'm not responsible for you being a fool. You don't leave your purse laying out there. You leave your wallet out there. You leave your phone up on the dash. Sure, those are all mistakes often. But if somebody walks by and says, man, I could use that. That's some free money right there. What do? Well, they just break the glass and take off with it. What about this? Notice this area is under 24-hour video surveillance. How many times you drive down the road and you go, oh, that's really nice. Those people have video surveillance. That is not for me and you. I mean, if we're law-abiding citizens, we don't care about either one of these signs. Who do these signs impact? It impacts people that have things to steal, and it impacts people that are trying to steal them. Saying, okay, we've warned these people. Hopefully they're paying attention. There's nothing for you here. And it's saying, if you did leave this here, you're being foolish with your decision. Here's what happens. I'm going back up here. Got lock your vehicle and you got your house under protection. All it takes is to bust the glass out. I don't know if you've ever accidentally busted a window out. Vehicle windows are made to shatter very easily because there's layers of glass and plastic and they just bust apart. So easy. Sometimes I've been a person that's experienced how a lawnmower can throw one little piece of gravel and windows can just suddenly disappear. Have you ever seen that happen before? It's real easy. So a thief, if they've just got something hard in their pocket, they can bust a window out almost. Some of them are really good at it, and they can take anything they want to very quickly. I heard somebody talking on the radio yesterday, and they said that at one point, somebody in 6 seconds can usually take the wheels, or not 6 seconds, sorry, 6 minutes, can usually take the wheels off of a car, jack it up, put blocks under it, and take the wheels off of it. Thankfully, we live in a time where almost all wheels are pretty nice alloy wheels, so that the temptation to steal is not like it was. But back when everybody had plastic hubcaps and black metal wheels on there, boy, shiny chrome wheels were something. What about your house? Well, same problem. All you got to do is break in. Do you know how easy it is to break into a house? We all want these windows just like this person has, where there's glass everywhere, right beside the handle. You got a bolt, you got a lock, oh man, you're set. Yeah, whatever. Smash, unlock, you walk in. In some of these cases, you can just walk through the door, which might have been what that thief might have done there. Those people had something in both cases that thief wanted, and it was easy just to go in and take. So when we're talking about unbroken, these two situations are certainly not unbroken. Damage has happened. Something's been violated. So what do we do now? Well, we have to reinforce. James chapter 1, verse 13 starts out and says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So what is the problem? Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. So right there, That's the first thing that if you're an engineer and you want to reinforce something that you want to be solid, unbroken, and secure, you find out exactly where the weak point is and you fix it. What's the weak point here? That's our own desires and the enticement that we have there. That's what we've got to be on guard for when we're trying to be reinforced. So what happens if those little weak points are there? Well, it says then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So this little crack can become death. It's seen in many times over history. So what are some of the risks? Genesis 4:7 says, "If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, what happens? Sin lies at the door." Again, the same idea of reinforcement. If you make sure everything's in good shape, you don't have anything to worry about. But if there's a chunk missing, and I think about this a lot of times, how many times have you seen these really bad accidents on the freeway? And they're finally designing these freeway overpasses so that they almost have nothing to hold them up from one side to the other. But back when I was a kid, they had all these columns of concrete there, and sometimes them semi-trucks would hit those in a bad accident, or a even bigger vehicle, or cars could hit it, and you'd see that big chunk missing out of that, and it wouldn't be too long you'd start hearing about other problems with those bridges. For those with my family, with my brothers and sister graduating down in Gallipolis, many people remember the story about the Silver Bridge. All it took was that one little piece on that bridge that had a fracture in it years ago that entire bridge went down on the Ohio River and killed all those people. So, watch out for that sin, because its desire is for us, but, and this is really important on reinforcement, you should rule over it. How do you rule over sin? How do you see sin lying at the door and overcome it? You take understanding that, it's there. If you've got a problem in your vehicle, okay, you know your belt's about to break, and you keep starting it up and you hear that, and you just keep going, I think I'll go to Florida today. That sounds like a good trip. Some people have made trips to Florida, and you think, okay, I'm down into Kentucky, and that noise is getting worse, and then finally, hey, it stopped. I must be good. Well, all your lights are on because you just ignored it. Well, sin is missing the mark. The mark was trying to make sure that your car was in good enough shape to take a long trip. You didn't rule over it if you let that belt keep squeaking. What about righteousness and sin? Proverbs 14:34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." I don't know about you, but I think I can look at the America that I live in today and the America that I grew up in as a kid, and this passage right here is a big, loud, very loud statement to me. The righteousness of this nation is ebbing. It's not being raised up by the people like us that should be taking a role. But the problem is that sin, and it's a reproach to any people. Proverbs 13:6 says, "Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner." This idea of righteousness guarding. Why do we have, on these curvy roads, we see them all over the place. Again, many analogies of driving. But you go into these roads, and if they're properly marked, you come up on it, you're straight, and you think, I think I've got a straight way to go here. All of a sudden, you got all these signs that show this big orange sign saying, nope, turn left, turn left. You get closer, and then you see these rails with all these reflectors. Like, why in the world do they put all that stuff out there to tell me there's a turn here? I just want to go straight. Well, you could, but the fact is, if it's properly in there, your car is going to end up going the way that they want you to go with the guardrails that they've got. They want you to stay on the right way, and that's very much the idea of this role of reinforcement, especially when we talk about God. God trying to make sure, going back to my first lesson about the chastening of God, it's God intervening in our lives to try to keep us on track. Righteousness guards him whose way is blameless, but wickedness overthrows the sinner. Yeah, I could just ignore all that and drive off the road. It's my own fault. Proverbs 13:21, "Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid." Now again, same thing here, watching out for problems in our lives, trying to stay on the correct path. What about hiding and forsaking sin? Proverbs 28 says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." This goes into some of the things we've talked about recently in the New Testament that we see that, and I've mentioned this many times before, but I think every time I look at this passage talking about how we should go to one another and confess our faults, that does so much. It tells each of you, hey, Roger's got a weakness. And when you confess your faults to me, he says, you've got weaknesses that I should be thoughtful of. And then I will have to change how I approach life to make sure that I don't do anything that would cause you to be driving off into a bad place, or you, me. And certainly those sins will be taken away from us if we're penitent to God and through baptism and have those things removed. Romans 4, 7 and 8 says, blessed, I'm not sure why I've got the N on there. I think I didn't delete enough there. But blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord shall not impute sin. That idea, and I was trying to find some really good examples. You've probably seen them, so I can just get this middle image in your heads. But these amazing projects that they build, these very tall towers, some concrete towers that just go up hundreds, if not even further, into the sky. And I think probably the most significant example of this is bridges. Some of these bridges that span huge places of water. And you see when they're building those things, there's just all these rebar wires that just go up and they're a mess. But then they put concrete around it and it just looks so solid. And reinforcement is absolutely like that. In the passage that we talk about here, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And that kind of goes backwards again, saying, well, there's a chunk of metal missing in there. There's a concrete blemish. And they tried to pour this when it was cold weather and it wasn't good. The idea of this passage here is God can get back inside there and pull those problems out and make sure that they're not going to cause problems for us. Turning it around, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also one man's obedience, many made righteous. Who is the one man that this passage is talking about? Well, we know back going back into the garden, it was Adam. First two people God had already falling prey to sin. And showing again the difficulty it is to be like these people I talked about in the first lesson that remained unbroken. That's why God put them in there for us to think about. Their failures made sinners follow them. But through Christ, His obedience, many can be made righteous. So again, reinforcement on there. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Seems like I've managed to get that into every one of my lessons, whether up here or whether in some of our studies that we've had with the kids. But we have got to be clear with ourselves how much righteousness we have. Just because I'm in church, just because I read my Bible, just because I try to be active in the kingdom does not mean that I'm sinless. And for me to tell you anything else is a failure and an absolute lie. And I wouldn't expect that for any of you either. We have to be honest with ourselves and say, okay, to be properly reinforced, we need to say, okay, this right side of me has some problems. And unfortunately, Lauren wasn't able to stick around here this morning, but what happens when we injure our bones? How many of you have had to deal with carpal tunnel or a broken bone or elbow or shoulder? Maybe a broken leg. I mean, I can go probably almost every pew who's probably had somebody that's dealt with that I've actually seen. What do you do with those kind of things, especially broken bones? Why do you have casts and why do you do all those things? Well, it's reinforcement. Yes, those things will heal. God has done an amazing job with our bodies to ensure that we can recuperate, but we have to immobilize them into a situation where they're not going to be harmed so they can recuperate. And that's what this hall is all about. Just making sure that we are not going to have sin if we put our trust in God and He is wrapped around us. 1 John 2:2, and He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. The whole world can take advantage of what God's done for us and what Christ has done for us. And as was talked about at the table here, it was not just to the Christians. Christ's blessings for the sacrifices He did was for everyone. We just have to take advantage of those things. 2 Chronicles 24:4. Now it happened after that that Joash set his heart on repairing the house of the Lord. And we can read through chapter 24 and on and see that there's a lot of difficulties that Joash faced trying to repair the house of the Lord. But we knew that that was one of his goals. And that's one of the things to be properly reinforced that I wanted to put on there for us to think about. If we have broken places in our spiritual lives, we have to figure out what we want to accomplish and go after it. Any person that's ever tried to achieve anything in life has got to have a set of directions. They've got to have marks that they can try to follow and try to reach those goals. And that's very much what is going on with the situation here. Ephesians 4:23, how can we be reinforced? Number one, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, not the old man, the new man, which was created according to God, in true righteousness and holiness. So going back to these people, the first lesson that I talked about that were unbroken. How were they unbroken? How did they stay the course when they still had the same difficulties all around them that we do? these very ingredients right here. We're putting on the new man. I'm not going to be like this person down the street. I could have listed so many people, and I seem to keep listing the same ones over and over in lessons, so I didn't want to put them all out there, but I always go back to thinking about Noah. An entire world, however many people there were all doing the opposite of what he was doing, and he could have easily fallen, but he didn't. He was an unbroken person. He was an unbreakable person. He put on that new man, and he was following God, and in true righteousness and holiness, it says, through faith, 8 souls were saved through his obedience. Some other images for you here, and this, I think, I'm such a visual person, being in the business of advertising, that these kind of things help me tie lessons together, and hopefully it's beneficial for you. We all like to have brand new cars, don't we? Hopefully the answer is yes. I can't see everybody saying, man, if you could have a 10-year-old car that's on its last little bit, wouldn't you like that? Like, well, maybe, but not. I wouldn't really like it. I'd love to go down to the dealership and drive this out of the showroom. And you're just going to have to ignore the Chevy symbol. There might be some that like Dodge and some like Chevy or some that like Mazda or other manufacturers. It doesn't matter. When we can get something that's built entirely brand new that hopefully is going to last a long time, that's what we want. Keep these things in mind when we talk about unbroken before God and reinforcement before God, because these kind of pictures here, I think, really tell us where we are today. Every person in here started life off like that car on the right. Not because it says after, but it started off like that. It started off better than that. It was perfect. And that's how we all started off our life. God does not create things broken from the beginning. They are perfect. And as these passages I put up earlier say, the problem is sin. The problem is exposure to people that are sinners. The problem is not staying focused on God, which were the unbroken that we talked about in the Old Testament. But what happens? Well, this person obviously ran into something pretty hard, and it damaged the entire front of that vehicle. I worked at a body shop. I know what you can do to a car, and I know how far back you can salvage a car that's been damaged. And unless the frame's twisted really bad, you can pretty much fix anything on a car or a truck. And as this shows a picture, and I'm just going to have to go with this body shop, it's a collision site that had a bunch of before and after pictures. They had something that was great. It was destroyed. But somebody made it look great again. Now, if you ask the owner 10 years down the road, did they fix everything? They'll probably say, no, it had this weird thing when I was driving down the road. It still kind of wanted to go to the right. And when I pushed the horn, it made a weird sound and just things like that. But a good shop is not going to do that. They're going to make that thing as close to the new as possible. And that's what it is when you're talking about the spiritual lives that we have. All of us have broken parts, just like the lens I talked about. You may not be a very good person in your prayer life. You may not be a very good person in preparing for your lessons in class. You may have a really difficult time going out to others and trying to show Christ in your life. It's just uncomfortable for you. You fail at it. Maybe you have people that you associate with that they can't tell you are any different than any other person. Those are the broken things that you see on the car on the left. But on the right, if you put God in your life and you hold closely to Him, He will reinforce you and make you as good as new. Okay, so just help Mike out here. Trying to get a Ford on here. That's a Mustang. My son would probably say GT500 or something or other and go on and on and on. My daughter likes to tease him about him knowing all the models, but that's a pretty nice looking Mustang on the right. Well, that same Mustang got pretty damaged there on the left. Again, same idea. Going back up to that passage, renewed by the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man. Why are we doing all these new things? Renew, new man. Why are we doing those things? Well, something's broken and it needs fixed. Who fixes it? It's not the church. It's not my brothers and sisters fixing it. They may be able to give me support, but they need to direct me to the only absolute perfect mechanic, absolutely perfect body man, and that is God in Christ. Other pictures here. Now I got a Dodge. I'm sorry about that, but it's up here. So you can harass me about that later. Same thing. Still run into something. Got a broken car on one side. Got a good car on the other side. And now we've got a truck on there too. There's gobs and gobs of pictures, but you certainly see what I'm trying to get across. Every row, as I talked about before, including up here, there's something broken. I've got something broken. I can start jotting it down. Same thing I talked about earlier. I can pass a piece of paper around. And I could ask every one of you, write down the things in your spiritual lives that are broken. Tell me why you are not all these people in the Old Testament. If there was a book of Glennon, if there was a book of Rochelle, and we could turn back in the Old Testament and read it, why is that book not perfect? Why are you not the absolute best perfect person that you can be before God? and I asked you to write down all the broken parts that you've got, we'd probably be on that back side of the page again. I would be. Maybe you will be too. At the end of the lesson, I just pray that we are thoughtful, basically looking back at the Bible, because we often dismiss the Bible as an example of what can be and what shouldn't be. And we don't pay attention to it enough that way. Every successful man and woman throughout the entire Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, are examples of people. When they've done good, they followed God and they've stayed close to Him. Just like Paul said, he had all these horrible things happen to him, but his true devotion was to Christ. And in the end, he said, I know there's a crown of life laid up for me in heaven. Because, how do I know that? I've followed this book. I've done what God wants me to do. The rest of the Bible shows examples of people that failed over and over and over again. Even the leaders of the Jews were absolutely abominable people sometimes. Who are we today? Are we unbroken or are we broken? If we're broken, we need to fix it. If we're unbroken, or at least we're trying to be, keep doing it. I mean, that's why we get together, is try to encourage each other. And I just ask you to take your songbooks out this morning. If you have any needs, please let that be known as we stand and sing.